Fear, anxiety, anger, frustration, sadness, disappointment. These are probably some of the emotions that we may be experiencing after all the events that have happened recently in our country. So what is God saying to these events? What is he telling us with all this distress and violence going on? I recently read a quote that said this: "You say God is not speaking, but your Bible remains closed." My brothers and sisters, we do not have to look far, but to our very readings today that we just heard, to listen to what God is saying to these situations. What the Lord is saying to us through this powerful parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, when we read the parable, we have to remember one thing, that Jesus doesn't give it just out of context. Rather, the parable is an answer to a question: who is my neighbor? This is important for us to keep in mind as we hear it, reflect on it, and pray with it. Because the reason for the scholar's question, "Who is my neighbor?" which may seem obvious to us, is because he is asking Jesus how one should interpret a particular verse from the Old Testament, particularly from the book of Leviticus. And you see, Jesus presses back the question about how one inherits eternal life back on the scholar. And the scholar responds, like a good scholar would, with a passage from Scripture. He responds by quoting this passage from Leviticus: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your being, with all your heart, with all your strength and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And the scholar is quoting a passage from Leviticus that says this: "You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So there you go. Who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is the son of your own people. Your neighbor is your fellow Jew. That's what the scholar is thinking. But just a few verses later, after the one that he just quoted, there arises another command to love someone as yourself. And it says this: "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who sojourns with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." And so, in essence, the scholar, I think, is really asking this question: if my neighbor really includes those who are strangers, does stranger really mean those who are not an Israelite, those who are not like me? Really, just how far does the obligation of neighborly love extend? Or to maybe put it in the context of his question about eternal life: what is the bare minimum I must do to inherit eternal life? Is the bare minimum to love my fellow Jew, or does it extend further than that? You can almost sense a little anxiety and worry in the question, knowing its context, because it's almost as if the scholar's asking or thinking, it might just mean this law, it might just mean something that might just make me uncomfortable. I might have to love someone that is not like me, to extend neighborly love to someone who is not a son of Israel. And the scholar is being challenged by the law. My brothers and sisters, do we not experience this ourselves? Doesn't our Lord Jesus Christ challenge us with his teachings? Have we ever asked ourselves this: does Christ really mean that? Does Christ really call us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? Does Christ really mean for us to love our enemies? Or maybe do we at times ask ourselves this question or approach our faith with this mentality: what is the bare minimum I have to do to make it to heaven? Go to Mass on Sunday and do a good deed here and there. Okay, I'll just do that. Sounds good. Sign me up. But to shoot for the bare minimum is not Christianity. It is much more than that, and it is better than that. And so Jesus senses these subtle and implicit questions within the scholar's question of who is my neighbor. And this is when Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And a priest and a Levite, they see this man beaten and bruised and left half dead, and they do nothing. And a priest and a Levite, they were two people who would have been considered to be very morally outstanding, who were very dedicated to the law. But they pass on the other side of the road, totally disregarding this Jewish man, a son of Israel, their neighbor. But the Samaritan traveler, he sees this Jewish man who had come from Jerusalem, lying on the side of the road, and he was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal and took him to an inn. Now, to Jesus' audience, and especially to the scholar with whom he is speaking, this parable would have been shocking. Why? Because the hero is a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews, let's just say, they didn't get along too well. They were enemies. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem, and they come to Samaria, and they don't welcome him. And what do James and John want to do? They want to call down fire upon all of them. They were enemies. But the Samaritan is the one who acts. He is the one that shows mercy. He goes over and beyond what is necessary. He lavishes extra care upon this man. The man shows mercy to this Jew, to this enemy of his. The Samaritan, the hero, the one who fulfills the law, he did not allow the enmity between the two peoples stop him from showing mercy. And Jesus not only tells a scholar, but he tells us today, go and do likewise. Go and show mercy. Go and show love. Set the world on fire with the love of God. To whom, you may ask, do we love? Anyone and everyone. Even if it is your enemy. Your neighbor is not just those who you want to love, but those who need your love. And those who need your love is every person we encounter. In our country, in our society right now, we are experiencing many emotions of what has occurred recently. Chaos and violence seem to be a natural occurrence. Peace. This is what our country needs right now. And how is peace established? Well, St. Paul tells us today in our second reading that Christ established peace through the blood of his cross. The cross. The cross is the greatest single act of mercy ever seen. For God so loved the world, and he saw the misery of his people, beaten and bruised and left half dead because of their sin, that he sent his only Son. He sent the Redeemer. And the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has shown us the way to peace through his cross and through the parable we hear today of the merciful Samaritan. My brothers and sisters, if we want peace, if we want to be instruments of peace, we must be merciful to all people. We must go and do like the merciful Samaritan. And we can talk about it, but Jesus is calling for us to act, for our daily lives to be full of acts of love and mercy. Will we answer that call? And peace will flow when our country ceases to push God away and out of public life. Our faith in Christ calls us not to put our faith in the Lord away and separate our private and public lives. When man pushes God out of society and out of life, out of his life, private or public, he replaces God with himself, making himself God. And we see what happens when man makes himself God. Chaos, violence, no peace. And the change begins with our own personal commitments every single day to be instruments of peace. Making peace through picking up our own crosses and following after the Lord. And peace will flow like a river when we take personally as our own the words of Christ today to the scholar. Go and do likewise. Go, be merciful, and do not allow your love to be hindered by anything. Peace will flow when we begin to be a people, men and women, of prayer, daily prayer, silent prayer, listening to our God before we speak. Mother Teresa says this, the fruit of prayer is the deepening of faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. Works of love are works of peace. Peace will flow when we lift high the cross of Christ. The cross is the answer to what we are experiencing now in our country. Why? Because the cross is the perfect act of one who loved all, who did not pick and choose with whom he shared his love and his mercy. Peace will flow when in our own lives we live the cross of Christ and when we live like the merciful Samaritan. To love and be merciful until it hurts. Because when we love, when we are merciful until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, but only more love and more mercy. Let us go and do likewise.